The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
We come in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we've come to the point where we need to hear a word from you. Our desire is that we would set up an atmosphere for you to dwell, dear God. And so, because, Lord, we recognize that our coming would be in vain if it were not for your presence. We need your presence, so we need you to add your power to our efforts. So it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said or done in this place has been pleasing unto your sight, has been a sweet savor unto your nostrils. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. For, Lord, you said that your sheep know your voice, and they follow you. I'm gracious and grateful to be an under-shepherd, but, Lord, all of us follow you as our great shepherd. Lead, guide, direct, and protect as only you can, and we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. All together we say it, amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so. Scripture is going to come from the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10 is from whence the word of God will come. Grateful to God for all who have come to this place. I recognize we've had a long, busy week. For a lot of us, but thanks be unto God for just a little bit of strength that he's given us. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. We're reading this morning from the New Living Translation. Certainly, if you cannot stand, we understand. But if the God gives you the ability, then we want you to do that in honor of the reading of the word. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Of course, for the Bible readers, we've read that text as a familiar passage of Scripture. And just like oftentimes when we're reading the Bible, we know how the story's going in. As a matter of fact, we are believers, and so we know ultimately how our story is going to end as a child of God. Come on, somebody. But along the way, till God calls us home, there's a journey that we're on, and there's a journey that we must walk. And before Bartimaeus jumped us to his feet, he was in a condition. And there's a question this morning I want to raise to all of us here. What do you do when you find yourself sitting by the side of the road? You may be seated in the presence of our God. What do you do when you find yourself sitting by the side of the road? My brothers and my sisters, life is a journey that we must all travel. It's filled with lessons, hardships, heartaches, joys, celebrations, and special moments that will ultimately lead us to our destination and cause us to fulfill our purpose in life. Now again, that is often spoken a lot of times in church about our purpose. What's our purpose? Books are written, purpose-driven church, purpose-driven lives, and folks still don't understand what our purpose is. Teach, Holy Ghost. And I shared on this past Wednesday that your purpose is not for you to grow up and become famous. Even if you are famous, come on, some of y'all want to be famous, but that's ultimately not your purpose. For the Bible says in Isaiah 43:7, the New Living Translation, it says, bring all who claim me as their God. Come on, somebody. For I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. In other words, do me a favor and tell somebody next to you, tell them, neighbor, we were created to bring God glory. That didn't sound glorified, but I pray that Lord will add his power. Come on, somebody. So the question becomes, and is the subject of today's message, what do you do when you find yourself sitting by the side of the road? And the reason why that's an important question is because if you're taking notes, you can write this down, because how we respond determines how the rest of your journey is going to be. Here in our text, we find Jesus is on a journey himself. Brother Bell, he's on a journey out of Jericho, but understand that he's not just taking a casual walk. He is headed to Jerusalem, teach Holy Ghost. He's headed to Jerusalem to ultimately complete the journey for which he came to earth in the first place, and that's he's going to the cross. Therefore, as he leaves Jericho, he encounters a man that's traveling through life himself, literally sitting on the side of the road. Listen, I'm talking to somebody, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but sometimes on the journey of life, you just might find yourself sitting on the side of the road. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like your life has come to a standstill? As if you've been relegated to the side of the road as the rest of the world seems to pass you by? Do you think, I don't know who I'm talking to, but do you think it's going to take a miracle for you to get your life back on track again? Watch the text, watch the text, watch the text. Because in verse 46, part B, the text says, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Lampkin, watch this. It said he was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. I want to show you something about this verse that I just simply cannot let you miss, and that is, in that verse, it actually gives his condition before it gives his name. Can I teach this text? I said it gives his condition before it gives his name. In other words, he is identified by his condition and not by his name. Some of you, when people look at you, they may not know your name, but they are identifying you maybe by how you look or whatever your condition might be. And oh, it's a terrible thing to be identified by your condition rather than by your name. Good God Almighty. But I need to let somebody know that your condition does not dictate who you are or who you can be in God. Why? Because I said it early. Because there's a difference between a disability and even a handicap. You see, a disability describes a person's limitation, amen, while a handicap refers to the impact that that person's disability might have on their daily life's activities, which sometimes are dictated by society. Some of us keep hitting glass ceilings because, not because of our condition, maybe because you African-American, but society has handicapped us. Miss Betty, I'll give you an example. Miss Betty has a disability. She has a condition. She is impaired in her sight. Therefore, she may be handicapped in her ability to drive a car. Come on, somebody. But society should not handicap her permanently by not making accessible to her reliable transportation that includes even the church. I'm going somewhere with that. Amen. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and watch this and make your name great. In other words, I come to let somebody know that regardless of your condition, regardless of your circumstance that you are in right now, that does not, your condition does not dictate your destiny. Many people in life may have a disability, but that disability does not dictate who you are and what you're able to accomplish. Amen. Bartimaeus was blind. That was his disability. That was his condition. But because of his condition, he was handicapped by society, and it caused him to be sitting on the side of the road begging for somebody to have compassion and pity on the man to just put a little bit of change in his hand. I'm talking to somebody. Watch the text, because Bartimaeus was sitting there begging by the side of the road. When in verse 47a it says that he heard, woo, Jesus, I'm about to teach this thing, says that he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby. In other words, watch this, Brother Lucky, he heard a sound. In other words, he heard some noise. You know what that says to me, Miss Stephanie? It says to me that Bartimaeus actually heard those that followed Jesus making some noise. Some of y'all missed that. I said that Bartimaeus actually heard some folk following Jesus making some noise. I don't care who I'm talking to. I don't mean any harm, but you can't follow Christ and keep silent all your life. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't go to church, Finley, and testify that God is the head of your life, and then y'all sit in church and nothing can move you. No, that's not biblical. Bartimaeus heard a sound, and he heard what he heard even caused him to ask, what's going on? Folk are looking around their churches. They're asking Sister Carngyle, what's going on around our church? Well, if you want the world to inquire what's going on in your church, the people of God are going to have to start making some noise. And I'm talking about praising God, not chaos. If you want the world to inquire what's going on in the church, folk was acting yesterday, King, what you got going on over there? Jesus? You want the world to inquire what's going on in the church, the people of God are going to have to make some noise, because when you make some noise, people are just naturally going to ask why, because inquiry minds want to know. Bartimaeus sits and he ponders the news. He's thinking, Jesus, where has he heard that name? I imagine some folk in the crowd were calling his name Jesus, and he's trying to figure out, where have I heard that name before? Wait a minute, that's it, he'd heard. In the excited conversations, the travelers of Galilee, wait a minute, he's thinking, is this a man who people say can heal the sick? Is this the man that people say can make the lame walk? Is this the man that I hear y'all talking about that can make the dumb talk. Is this the man? Look, y'all got to look like this is doing something for you. Is this the man who can make the blind even see? Wait a minute. He can make the blind see. Slowly would I contend. Slowly would I contend. Sister Loretta, is that the cold embers of this man's dead dream began to rekindle just a little bit? Just a small spark flashes in his mind because he can't see now. But it flashes across the soul of this man. He's thinking, oh, to see some folk come in to the church and they're just saying, oh, just to have a good night's rest. Oh, just for me to have a good day. Oh, I thank God just to be able to put one foot in front of the other. But for Bartimaeus, it was, oh, just to see. See the faces of other people, just to see a child, just to see a sunset, just to see a myriad of colors and shapes inside us. He says, just to see, that could be it. If you're taking notes, write this down. Faith sometimes begins with just a question. Watch the text. Watch the text, because in verse 47b, because blind Bartimaeus, who Jesus, heard those following Jesus healing, making some noise. Watch the text, because Bartimaeus heard some folk following Jesus in the noise of crowd. The Bible says that he too, watch this, began to shout, Jesus, oh Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He can't see now, but by faith he's saying that must be him, Jesus. Hear y'all talking about him. I'm going to call him Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Be careful, I'm going to convict somebody. But sometimes folk ain't calling Jesus around your conversation because they don't hear Jesus in your conversation. But watch this. For somebody, because you know we got to teach in this house, and that's all I come to do. I ain't trying to beat everybody or anybody over the head, but you got to teach some folk out of habits. So for that man, woman, boy, or girl who says it don't take all that, need to teach you that in order to shout or to cry out, that means you're going to have to make a sound with your mouth. Well, wait a minute. Show me, Pastor King. I'll show you. Hebrews 13:15. It's not going to be in your screen. Look it up. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Some of y'all need some fruit, come on somebody, coming off your lips. And if you don't need to tell all your business, just tell the Lord, thank you. Bartimaeus began to shout. He let some fruit come off his lips, Brown. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But watch the text. Around folk saying they following Jesus. The noisy crowd, he too is shouting. But the thing is, there's some folk in the same crowd, I'm in the text, who turn and they look and they see this man's condition. And they identify him by his condition. There's some folk who don't come into our churches because all they see us seeing is their condition. Why you got them pants on? Why are you wearing that shirt? Why you got that dress on? Don't you know where you are? And all we see is their condition. We don't even know their name yet. They're trying to get a blessing from God. And the Bible says that the folk in the crowd, see, the crowd ultimately as society, but you got to understand there were some folk, not everybody following Jesus was convinced. Some of the folk were curious. And so you're going to get that kind of crowd in church. That's why not everybody in the church is saved. But there's some folk who experience church, even in church, because when this man is shouting, trying to get his blessing, the Bible says some folks said, be quiet. Am I in the text? Folks said, be quiet. Matter of fact, the text said many of the people yelled at him, my God. They didn't say, the Bible says they yelled at him. Now you can't miss this. Can't miss this. Bartimaeus was blind. That was his disability. That was his condition. And because of his condition, he was already handicapped in society. And society had already caused him to be sitting by the side of the road. He's sitting there just begging somebody to have compassion on here. Now on him. Now here comes some folk, including some church folk. Folk following Jesus, and the same folk following Jesus are perpetuating handicapping this man that society had already done. In other words, telling him to be quiet because in their minds, they in saying, and some translations even say it, they saying Jesus don't have time for that. Now wait a minute, you got your blessing. You got your breakthrough. And you sure enough, thank God, that you know he took the time to meet you where you were, and now we're saying he don't have time to bless somebody else. But this is why I got to encourage some folk that's running away from churches, because you can't even let church folk run you out of church. The Bible says that he, Bartimaeus, was not silenced. The rest of 48b says they shouted, but he only shouted louder. Come on, somebody. Amen. They shouting. Matter of fact, the Bible says they yelling. But he said he shouted even louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you been there? God Almighty. Have you been there? Have you ever cried out to the Lord wanting something so bad that you would risk ridicule and rebuke? Wanting something so bad for your health to get better? Maybe from an ailment, a sickness, or a disease. I have time to come in here and play church. I need a blessing from God. And I'm calling on the Lord. Lord, I need you to heal my body, my ailment, my condition. Have you ever wanted something so bad? You want your finances to get better, whether you're working or retired. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to somebody? You wanted your relationship to get better so bad, wanting things to get better for your family and even your children. Can't worry about how it's going to look to somebody else. I know you want, listen, you want your territory to be enlarged. We love that prayer by Jabez. I'm coming off the page now. But you got to understand, when Jabez was praying that prayer, that wasn't about prosperity. He was about to go to war. If you haven't wanted something so deeply so badly, so intensely, that not even the world itself could stop you from calling on the name of the Lord. And if you haven't wanted something like that, then I'm here to let you know that you're not ready for what's about to happen next. Mm-mm. You're not ready. You can't talk about what now, go to the next level, and you want to take an elevator, an escalator? No. Going to the next level is going to take some work. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some requirement. You see, because only those willing to persevere in the face of some obstacles can make their voices be heard above the noise of the world and even the church. Only somebody willing to expend to the end of their resources will they ever find renewed strength. Because if faith begins with a question, and I believe that's what curious folk ask when they come to church, is this really working for you, and will it really work for me? Is this Jesus you talk about really worth following? Is this really worth me fully committing to? Because I'm trying to see some evidence. But if faith begins with a question, watch this, it grows with a cry for mercy. Because watch the amazing, powerful event that happens in verse 49 of the text. The Bible says that Jesus stops and hours away from his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, days away from the upper room and the Last Supper, a week away from the shameful and painful death on the cross. Don't miss that here in the text. The Bible says that Jesus stops. Good God Almighty. Y'all miss that thing. I said that hours away from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, days away from the upper room and the Last Supper, a week away from the shameful and painful death that would certainly happen on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus stops. You mean to tell me that in the midst of a hurricane of voices, that there's one voice that seems to capture and arrest the attention of Jesus? Above all the cheering, Jesus hears one solitary cry of a man, and the parade seems to come to a screeching halt. The Bible says in verse 49 that Jesus stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." Good God Almighty. "Tell him to come here." But watch the Bible. So it says they still calling him by his condition, the blind man. And they said, "Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you." Amen. Now ponder this for a moment. Ponder this for a moment. Jesus stopped, facing what would be the most traumatic days of his life. Days in which the fate of the entire world, teach this thing, Holy Ghost, the fate of the entire world hangs in the balance. But Jesus, in a sense, is willing to let destiny stand still, good God Almighty, so he can attend to the needs of one man. One man. Do you know that while we love to sing that song, it's a cute song, he's got the whole world in his hand. The problem is, for too many of us, that's all stuff remains in church is cute. It's a cute song, but all it does is remain cute. Amen. He's got the little bitty babies in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. And although he has all of that going on, when we call upon the name of Jesus, when we cry out, the Son of God is still willing to stop and tend to your needs. Above the hustle and the bustle of life, he's still willing. So the scripture says, cheer up on your feet. Y'all missed that thing. He's calling you, good God Almighty. That's the call of faith, and that becomes the moment of truth for Bartimaeus. It's a moment of truth. He makes a tremendous leap of faith, David. Cast off the cloak. Watch this. The only thing in the world that he has known for years. God Almighty. The Bible says he left it on the side of the road. Some of y'all talking about y'all want to follow Jesus, and there's some stuff you ain't left. God Almighty, on the side of the road and into life again. But here it is. Here's the big part of the text. Verse 51. The question Jesus asks is, what do you want me to do for you? When you got time, read Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, 20 through 28. Why do I want you to read that? Because that's not the first time Jesus asked that question. He's asked it other times. But when you go back to that scripture reference, Matthew chapter 20, 20 through 28, Jesus asked that same question of the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, when she knelt before Jesus and she made a petition before Jesus and she asked him a favor. And the Bible says that he asked her, what do you want me to do for you? Now you remember the story. She wanted her sons to sit at the right and the left hand. She wanted them to be seated at the right and the left hand of Christ in heaven. But the Bible says he refused that. Here's the point. They asked for glory. Bartimaeus asked for mercy. It's a difference between asking for glory and asking maybe for grace and mercy. He simply said, Rabbi, I want to see. That's it. Here's a man willing to step out from the world he has always known, willing to cast off the past and reach out and hold the bold. Uncertain, willing to trust this man that all he's heard was some words, somebody claiming to be the Son of God. Yet that's the kind of faith. As I get ready to close, that's the kind of faith that breaks through the darkness and grabs hold of some light. This is the one who will actually see Jesus. The question I need to ask somebody today is, are you ready to leave the roadside? Didn't say you stopped coming to church, but there's some of you still on the roadside of your lives. You got to stand still. You feel stuck. Feel like you're not making any progress. Are you ready to leave the roadside? And for some of you, it's not even that it's uncomfortable. For some folk, you done got comfortable in your condition. For some of us, we've made what's not normal, normal. This stuff going on around the world, this stuff ain't normal. This ain't normal. And the fact that the world is trying to normalize it should scare y'all. But there's some folk who have gotten comfortable and not willing to give up the cocoon of the life that they are already living. The question I want to ask is a convicting question. Is can you cast aside the shackles of self-righteousness and pride? Can you cast aside the shackles of hurt, pain, and bitterness? Can you cast aside the shackles of worry, defeat, and depression? Can you cast aside the shackles of all of that fallback addiction that you can always count on to make you feel better? Whether, watch this, it's a person, place, or thing. Can you cast that shackle aside of your fallback addiction that you can count on to make you feel better, but that ain't gonna help you get better? If so, you need to be ready to answer the question, though. When Jesus asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And remember that when you answer the question, ask for grace and not for glory. Some folk are wondering why their prayers are not being answered, because you're praying amiss, because you want stuff to happen for you, because you're just all about you, and you're asking for your own glory, whether you want to admit it or not, and not for grace. And the reason why that's important is because it is in the answer that the miracle actually occurs. He simply said, Deacon McFarland, Rabbi, I want to see. And scarcely before the words actually leave this man's lips is when the unbearable light starts pouring through his eyes. Bartimaeus, I can almost, my sanctified imagination, he squints and he's opened again his eyes to the world, fresh with all these vivid colors around him. And I believe the first face he sees is the very one who brought his dead dream to life. And he says, go. He says, your faith, not how long you've been praying, your faith, not how much you put in church, your faith, not how much you take attendance about how many times you come to church or Bible study. He said, your faith has healed you. Then he says, go. Go. He says, go. But he says, no, Lord. I want to follow. I want to follow you wherever you lead. And with that, the Bible says that Bartimaeus left the roadside. He left it for good to begin his new life's journey with Christ as his guide. My brothers and my sister, this year might be a story, and some of you might say it's a good Bible story, story of Bartimaeus. No, that's the story for any of us. Any of us. For all of us, watch this, have blind spots in our lives. Each of us at one time or another has found our lives stalled along the road of life. Some sin, some circumstance, some situation, some condition has reduced us all to being beggars outside the city gate of heaven. But the good news is today is that Jesus is still passing by. Still walking the highways and the byways of life, looking for those who feel like life has simply passed them by. His ears are still open for cries of mercy. And he's still willing to stop for anybody that's seeking grace. But when he calls, here's the question. Will you have your priorities straight? Huh? We always want to talk about the calling. But why are you calling him for what you are calling him for? And when he answers your question with a question, are you going to have your priorities straight? Will you be able to answer the question when he asks, what do you want me to do for you? But when he's done for you what you've asked him to do, are you ready to follow him down the road of discipleship? Bartimaeus cried out. Bartimaeus got Jesus' attention. And when given his chance, he took a leap of faith to the Savior's arms of love and new life. The doors of the church open. Stand to your feet. Come on, brethren. Today is the day.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.